How long gone? Beautiful Thursday here in New York. The rain has stopped, but I did have some news I wanted to share with you, Jason. I have to visit urgent care as soon as we finish this podcast.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this morning I was cleaning a knife, obviously not a knife that I used in the kitchen.
And no.
I did cut my index finger on my pitching hand. And it's not that bad, but I wrapped it up thanks to our friends at GoPuff. I got some Band-Aids over here while I was on a call, wrapped it up, had to run some errands, do some other shit. Got back, was ready to rewrap, and it was still bleeding pretty heavily, which I looked up, and that means you need stitches, apparently. So I have an appointment at the beautiful CityMD on Delancey just a few minutes after we finish. So I wanted to let you know that it's striking me as odd that this happened, the timing, you know?
Mm.
We're cycle sisters.
Damn. Is okay, the universe is telling us something. It's telling us that we need to get a new podcast sponsor by one of these startup urgent care facilities. I know the founder and CEO of Carbon Health, where I go to fix myself, is a follower and a listener of How Long Gone. So, you know, dig deep into those pockets, brother. You want us to send our cool, influential people into you whenever we need to have a stitched up hand from cooking in the kitchen. Maybe a morning after situation, whatever it might be. But that is crazy, and I am sorry about that. And my first question: no Band-Aids in the house at all? What's going on with that, Chris?
I mean, that, you know, that's obviously something I would not have.
It's a female trait to have.
No. It's just
Band-Aids in the house.
Just, you know, there's some domestic things that I just kind of overlook. You know what I mean? I just don't really care.
I guess I'm kind of the same way. When I lived alone, I feel like I had Band-Aids, but also as somebody who grew up as a member of the Boy Scouts. Untouched, proud to say. I'm a golden star Boy Scout. I fancy myself to be pretty resourceful if I have a wound or a tourniquet or some type of situation that needs tending to. I feel like I could handle that with household items, whereas you are more of a...
I handled it with household items, bitch. Just to be clear, before the Band-Aids arrived, I did have a paper towel. I wrapped it and secured that with a streetwear brand sticker. To keep it on.
You did not use a streetwear brand sticker. Are you able to divulge what brand this was? Was it one of your vintage New York thing pieces?
I would never wait. No, come on. You know, I would never.
Not from
waste
the archives.
That. I can't. Honestly, it's a brand from Stockholm that I can't remember the name of. But it was
fine.
He did a sticker in the classic Bianca Chandon lover hoodie, but it says loser. It's the same. So I use that as
what a poetic sticker for your mishap. And how does it feel? I know that you are a rage king, and I want to know how it feels to be a person who is adamantly not interested and takes a vehement stance against ever cooking inside of your kitchen, inside of your home, making a dish messy, whatever it is, and you are taking the kindness out of your time, busy schedule as a grustler to clean someone else's blade, which then took your own hand. How does that feel in terms of the rage seethe?
Honestly, it doesn't feel that bad. I recognize my position as house manager, and that's just part of my daily tasks. And unfortunately, I was, you know, kind of not paying attention and using some unfamiliar cleaning apparatuses.
And
this is what happens. And as soon as it happened, I was like, fuck. And then I looked down and I was like, oh, that's kind of a lot of blood. And then I wrapped, you know, so it's okay.
You said, we're going to want to take a look at that, cousin.
Yes, exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly. That's exactly what I said.
Did you take a picture of it with your 35mm for an upcoming zine project at the very least?
Unfortunately, no, it wasn't that, you know, it's the index thing. It's not super sexy. You know what I mean? If it was like if I was really gushing, you know, and maybe,
sure.
But the location just didn't kind of spark my creative juices.
You were like, Hamburger Eyes isn't even going to reply to this email. I'm not even gonna bother.
Imagine I submit to Hamburger Eyes a black and white photo of my bloody finger. Like, what do you mean you don't want this? Like,
what
guys?
Else you got? It's fine, I guess.
Else on that roll? No, but I'm okay. I'm okay. I just wanted to. I do feel like, you know, something is going on.
Something's in the air, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've got almost a week time served in the handicapped ward.
Time served.
You know, the shock has gone down a little bit, but you are, it does make you, or it does make me, hyper sensitive and aware to additional injuries or danger. I don't know. I go into like some sort of like pussy mode,
mm-hmm.
where I'm like, I'm being extra cautious.
You're saying you don't reside in pussy mode?
We don't
need
to
go. Saying it just it seems like something that might be more frequent than you're letting on to the listeners, but
pussy mode engaged.
I'm glad to hear that we're all, you know, hopefully after I get my stitches, we're all going to be mended and we're on the up and up, and you know, it's not going to stop us from watching the Oscars on Saturday, you know what I mean? It's or Sunday. It's fine.
Oscars. That's right. This is so exciting.
Very exciting.
What do I have going on? It's also daylight savings time.
So you mean to tell me that summer's just around the corner?
Well, I actually had a How Long Gone listener who is coming to LA in a couple weeks to run the LA marathon, mm-hmm. and they're like, I was checking out the AccuWeather forecast, it seems cool, but they trust my sort of cosmic weather abilities more so than a local news channel Doppler 3000 type shit. And I did look into it, and I was surprised to see that in a couple of weeks it's supposed to be like maybe 80 degrees.
Wow. Okay. That's I mean, global warming is real. It's so unpredictable, Jason. You know, I don't know. I can't keep track.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder. You know, obviously global warming is real, and I've seen it affect our world in my short life on this planet, and I feel like by the time I'm dead, or like by the end of my life, global warming will have come and left and maybe been more beneficial to my life.
Mm.
Like, you know, like 300 years from now, you know, fire and brimstone, pure hell, Earth is uninhabited, blah, 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 Elon Musk, dark warlord living in the shadow planet above Mars or whatever. But like, we're in that sweet spot. We're like in the infrared sauna phase of global warming, where it's like, so what happened to your life while you were on Earth? I was like, it just kept getting a little bit warmer, and kind of sun is like summer all the time. I mean, unless you live in Antarctica or something like that, but you know, I'm in the desert. It's fine. And it's funny that we're talking about this because our guests, we also did talk a lot about weather.
Oh yeah. Oh,
do you remember that?
We did.
We're recording. We recorded the interview earlier than the intro for full disclosure, but you know, like 5 minutes into our conversation, he was just like, you know, are we really talking about weather this much?
Well, he was,
he wanted to.
He was an expert, though. I mean, he was kind of rivaling you, but just talking about a different kind of microclimate than you usually touch on.
Yeah. And which is sort of the point of How Long Gone Now, which is just kind of shining a light on up and coming microclimate voices,
weather patterns. We're trying to show that's a good way to look at it. Yeah, I mean,
not voices in climate change, just climate enthusiasts. I'm a climate enthusiast.
Voices in climate, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I mean, I think that he lives in Portugal, which is famous for its many microclimates as you kind of traverse the terrain,
mm-hmm.
And as an avid gardener and plant lover, I think that you have to know about the weather as much as he does to kind of make sure your garden grows.
Yeah, over in Portugal, if you're not in tune with the weather and all that shit, you're not getting laid.
yeah, that's
good luck pulling up at Armstrong Garden Center and getting any action.
I don't know what that is. Where is,
if you don't know,
is that in Glendale or is that in Portugal?
Armstrong Garden Center is sort of like a national chain of garden centers all over the country, maybe mm-hmm. the world.
Good to know. I've never been to a garden.
You wouldn't really know it as an indoor girl, but
I've never been to a gardening center. Thank God.
We sort of all knew that and assumed that, mm-hmm. but it's all good.
Look, I'm injured right now, so I feel like a man for the first time in my life. So thank you.
Well,
for that.
you're more of a you're less of a garden guy, and you're more of maybe more into house plants. Like our friend Seth Rogen.
I watched that annoying motherfucker yesterday on your little David Chang live show. Although
he's not annoying.
He is annoying. He's terrible. They did something yesterday.
Rogies, come on the pod.
That is so interesting on that show that I'd never seen before, and I wanted to ask you about it because you got me watching the show. I don't even like it, but I have it on because it's so nice to watch something that's recorded live. That it like doesn't even matter what's going on because there's like it's different than what you usually
you
see.
Feel that way. Just imagine watching it actually live. Imagine how that feels.
Yeah, I won't be doing that. But
how Five Gum feels.
The bowl of chips with fried egg and caviar and onions on top. And these two stone motherfuckers ate the whole bowl. And I was like, that looks delicious for one bite.
Yeah, it was crazy to finish all that food. And those were just the folks to do it. I was talking to an unnamed chef on Instagram about that, and they were posting a video, and they're like talking about how like these are the most sort of, you know, when you make a fried egg and the top of it is still sort of uncooked, clear, gelatinous kind of snot-like texture. There was a lot of that going on, even though he lidded those eggs, and you know, you saw the uncooked egg whites on top that were just being dumping caviar on top in hopes that you'll forget about the problem. It's like your landlord painting over a hole in the wall or something like that. It's, you know what's underneath the surface, and it's a shame. But, you know, since we're on live TV, that's kind of what happens. You have to feed somebody raw egg whites with caviar. But those fat motherfuckers ate it all up. I probably would, too.
They ate it all up. They had no problem with it. All right. Well, our guest today is Peter Kember. You might know him as Sonic Boom, producer and former member of the legendary band Spaceman 3. And he's done some records with Panda Bear. He produced one of the better MGMT records. He lives in Portugal. He looks great for his age.
Yeah, for a guy who seems to be a sort of career partier. Still to this day, he looks amazing. He seems to be living, honestly, like my ideal retirement plan. He has a great house in a great part of the country. He spends all of his day smoking weed and gardening and producing records. And every once in a while, him and his friends throw a DJ night and do Molly and dance around and have fun. Like, there's no real downsides going on here at all, right?
No, none that I could find. But you guys can make that decision for yourself.
All right. You guys are going to like this talk with him. Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard, the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late-night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, take it an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off. That's more than half at babbel.com/howlong, spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com /how long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I'm unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
How are you? Are you joining us from the rave cave in Portugal? What's the vibe over here?
The rave cave. I wish it was. It's more like the rave grave, I'm afraid.
The rave grave.
Okay.
It's a rave closet, a rave wardrobe.
A rave wardrobe. Pretty much.
Yeah, I think you're the first person to smoke a cigarette on this podcast, and
this is a joint.
Oh, even better.
I still haven't got your first.
No, it still might be the first, I think. And we've done a lot of these with a lot of people who claim to smoke marijuana. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I it's not unusual for me to eat an edible marijuana, but I've never just lit up a spleef on the show, which. You're already the coolest guest we've ever had on so far, so congratulations, Peter.
I died.
No, we really had you on to see if you could introduce us to Beach House. Is that okay? I'm just kidding.
I would love to introduce you to Beach House.
No. We'd rather talk to you. Don't worry.
So you're in Portugal right now. That's where you live.
I am. I'm in Sintra in Portugal. It's a little volcano, a little mountain range. It was a volcano a long, long time ago,
mm-hmm.
on the very western point of Europe. It is called Cabo da Roca, and I live right by there, near the beach and in the valley in the mountains. It's very, very beautiful.
Okay, so are you just a sun worshiper after growing up in dreary old England and you had need to escape?
You don't need to worship the sun after living in England. You just want to be able to see it occasionally.
Okay.
You just have to know that it does exist somewhere to stay alive.
Yeah, I lived too much of my life where, summer was 3 months anticipation and then 3 months disappointment.
I don't know what that could do to a person. I grew up in Southern California, so I'm a sun worshiper. Without it, I do get sad.
Yeah.
And I've spent a lot of time in London, and it seems like people who live there, they just get used to it, but it does affect them. Like, you know, some like internal trauma, like they might repress.
Trust me, you never get used to it, because sometimes you know, even in England, I mean, summer is the best day of the year in England. And once you've seen it, of course, you're hoping that you can see a bit more of it.
That you snuck that one past me. It took me a second to get that. And I'm sure that's one of those jokes you hear in a pub in 1978, and
classic. You're like,
that
is
dad jokes. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not a dad joke. It's, to me, that's a perfect joke, because it requires the delivery of an English accent, the ability to not step on the punchline, not even act like it's a joke at all. I'm just pleased that I fell for it, but we can digress from that, from your comedic styling.
Yeah,
but yeah, it is one day. So do you have friends that grew up with over there who are like, they have seasonal real depression?
I mean, I felt it. I mean, I don't want to get fucking boring with all this weather shit, but I mean, when I was a kid, we used to get quite nice summers in the UK. And then in the 80s and 90s, it just started being where they were just cloudy, and it was hardly would get any summer. It'd be a week here, a week there. And it was, I love the sun and I love summer. And here it's on the same latitude as Marin, and summer's 8 months here. You know, I live a semi-outdoors existence, even when I'm indoors for 8 months of the year. We just open up.
Yeah, I was gonna ask: Are you in the ocean? Are you surfing? Are you hiking? How are you taking advantage of your surroundings?
No.
Okay, I had a feeling that might be the answer.
I won't make any jokes about surfers, because I'm sure I'll get jumped on from a great height somewhere near Ericeira or Nazaré or something. But
yeah, the Nazaré boys will come.
Yeah,
with their bike locks.
Nazaré boys.
Heard you've been chatting shit.
There'll be a whole flock of jet skis turn up outside the house.
They're gonna be going
circling, waiting like hawks.
Yeah. No, I don't surf. I mean, you know, I gotta really watch my mouth. I like the idea of it, but I know a few surfers who are really cool dudes, but mostly what I observe is not. and I just don't really feel I sync with them. But that's a horrible generalization, because there are some for sure. And I have some really good friends who surf as well. Yeah. So I have to be really careful. But I mean, people who live here, of course, because of it having some of the best surf in the world, arguably. Mm-hmm. Lots of people surf here, and many, many Americans have moved here, particularly in the last 3 or 4 years since the start of lockdown. Aracera and Nazare has got very
we'll come ruin anything. Just give us an opportunity and we'll come down.
Yeah, if somebody says they did the biggest or best thing anywhere in the world, an American white woman will come to try and challenge that.
Give me one of these damn surfboards. I'll show you guys how it's done. I think I think a lot of Americans move there because it's easy to get a passport or something, or there's like a tax issue.
You used to be able to buy. I mean, if you bought
That's what it was.
You got a golden visa, half a mil down, and which, you know, not unsubstantial amount of money. Mm-hmm. But with that, you got free citizenship somehow. but I think they might have stopped that. But my understanding is most of the Americans are here to get away from Donald Trump and gun crime.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, crime in Portugal is very modest. It's very it's very chill. Mm-hmm. As are the police, and the police interaction with the population here is quite hands off.
It's minimal at best.
Light touch
in a good way.
Yeah,
in a
of
good
course
way.
That sounds, I mean, if in a good way. If I'm able to go throughout my day smoking a joint, taking a nap out, looking at the ocean, doing whatever I want, and I never see a police officer, that's
well, none of that's illegal, of course, here. Mm. and all drugs are decriminalized here, so possession of any drug, pretty much within reason, if you haven't got too much of it. Selling it, of course, is another thing.
Yeah.
But possession is a minor obstacle.
I love how they do that, where they make possession and use fine, but selling illegal. And you got to get it somehow, so you know you're buying it from someone.
And you can possess it, but you can't have it on you.
I absolutely agree. It's a totally imperfect and crazy way of thinking. And it's like, because you can't even, I mean, in Spain and places, you can grow your own weed, for example. Here, not. I mean, people do, of course. And with very, very little policing, but it doesn't make sense. I know, but that's what we have politicians for, isn't it? Just to make nonsense for us.
Yeah.
To try and wonder if we can get an even dumber one next time. No, please.
For sure. it's a race to the bottom in most political. You know, people always threaten to leave the country with Donald Trump. I'm going to Canada, etc. But you actually know people who left America and went somewhere else. I've never met a person who actually left. I thought it was all lip service.
I've heard more spiel than I've seen action. But I do not know personally anyone, but I can smell it on the wind. I can see it, and there are some areas around here because this area is a cluster of microclimates, and it can be very different from one part of the mountain to another. And Americans tend to like the sunnier, drier areas. And I know in those areas, I see them flocking and congregating, and I can smell it.
Okay. Now, have you linked up with, are you friendly with expats, or you try to keep it local? What's your socializing looking like?
Our friends come from everywhere, from Mexico to Russia. And I you name me a place, I'll you know, tell you one of my friends. It's very cosmopolitan in Lisbon. Mm-hmm. It attracts an interesting group of people.
To me, I mean, besides criminals, it must attract some great hippie folks and some free spirits and all those people. But mm-hmm. you're naming this, you're describing this as literally a utopian place. To me, everything about this sounds amazing. I want to know two things that are bad about where you live.
The driving. Not everyone, but there are, I see worse incidents of crazy, what the fuck, insane driving here. And also crashes. I've seen more insane crashes here than I saw my whole life before I moved here.
Those go hand in hand. Really? That was not expecting you to say.
Yeah. No.
Dangerous, violent driving.
The Lusitanians from around the Lisbon area in Hannibal's time went with Hannibal when he crossed the Alps with his elephants and everything. And his big battle against the Romans at Cannae, which is still taught textbook, still in modern warfare, it's taught textbook as like the amazing strategy. The Lusitanians were part of the cavalry who came in and with the glory boys, basically. The cavalry came in and just destroyed everyone. And so I think they've always been, I think they were wild on horses as well. Okay.
you're saying that set the tone for the driving and it's continued.
Any mode of transport, even before inventing the wheel, these people were shit drivers is what you're saying.
Shit might be a little pushing it, but different. Yes.
Okay. Different. My words, not yours.
Style is
different. The style is
you
different.
You sort of get used to it. A little bit. You get used to it, or at least you are aware that it could happen. Okay. More.
You get used to a couple scrapes on the bumper.
Well, yeah, that's a car without a scratch in Portugal is in your garage, basically, and never leave.
Okay.
It's very easy to scratch your car up here.
So I read that in one of the brochures at the hotel.
Yeah. So the 911's got a couple scratches on it, but it's kind of par for the course. Everybody's got scratches.
It adds character.
Yeah. Well, see, I think there's nothing. The only way I'd ever have a Ferrari or a Porsche is a totally beat up one. I think that would be the coolest thing. Agreed. To have something that you just fucking use. And it's not like shiny, polished red. It's like just like beat up and used and sun damaged. But I don't think that's going to be on my part of my
if it happens, it happens, great, but it's not on your mood board right now.
Absolutely
not. Super high priority right now.
It's no, that's cool, because I hear people, like my wife is really into fashion, and we'll talk about, you know, if you have like a really expensive nice handbag or a pair of boots or shoes, like having it be well worn and beat up is 10 times better. It's always cooler.
Agree.
It's lived in and you know, keeping it shiny and brand new and safe in the bag.
Yeah.
It's pussy shit.
Yeah. I'm not a box saver. I'm a user of things. I enjoy living with objects, maybe more than I should, but I enjoy our conversations that we have.
What about books? How do you treat your books?
My eyes are just I love books and I treat them very well. I have them in my front room, but my eyes get worse.
I guess I should say, how do you treat your audiobooks now? As the eyes,
that's my wife's the audiobook aficionado. Yeah, I don't.
Me neither, Pete. I'm old.
It's a bridge too far.
I ain't doing that. I don't know why, and I know it's efficient, and I know it works, but I just have no interest in doing it.
Yeah.
Well, what if the eyesight eventually goes too far? It's either you have your wife literally read it to you like a school child, or you
what option?
Buy it on Spotify for $10.
Yeah. I don't know. I because of working, and when I'm working and different things, I very much feel that you have to wear a different hat for different jobs. If you're editing, if you're mixing, if you're writing, you wear a different hat. And I sort of, as I do a lot of these things on projects, different projects, I do wear several hats. When I'm not, I like to just listen to really what I really enjoy listening to music wise. Or nothing, and then to let stuff come into my head. And one of the reasons for moving to Portugal, in part, but one of the reasons I guess I love it especially here is it's a gardening paradise. And I never did a day's gardening my whole life until I moved here 8 years ago. But when I realized how easy it was to grow bananas and pineapples and palm trees and yuccas.
Maybe some couple poppies.
you need quite a few poppies, don't you? You wouldn't just grow one or two, would you?
Sure. No.
That's,
if you're gonna do it, do it.
That's a pretty heavy. That's a pretty heavy garden from the what you just listed off. Yeah, that's like a, that's a jungle.
Oh, that's just the start of it. Oh my god, I have hundreds of different types of plants in my garden.
Really?
Well, the one of the other things I really like about here is the
I'm so sold on this.
The trash, the trash places where you leave your recycling and trash have a green dump. I never quite figured out if it's official, but people, when they take stuff out of their garden to clear shit out because they have too much of it, they put it there. And many of these things, like agaves and yuccas and banana and many things, some banana you need to get the roots on the thing, but a lot of these things, you just stick the chopped off end in the ground and it'll re-root. Yeah. It's including this guy you have behind you. That would be a good example.
Uh-huh.
Like a type of Dracaena, right?
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So you just plop it in the soil, and you said it's a, it can be a, the microclimates. It's wet, it's rainy, it's sunny. It sounds very Hawaiian.
Different sides of it. Looks like Hawaii out the window here sometimes, according, because we have cloud and mist, and it has really stunning weather interaction because it's a mountain, right? The first thing coming in from the Atlantic, the weather hits this place. And originally it was a rocky outcrop, but the Portuguese royal family hundreds of years ago built palaces here because it's 10 degrees cooler than Lisbon, which is only 20 kilometers away. Mm. But in the summer, not most of the year, but in the summer, in the peak, it's 10 degrees cooler here. So they built summer palaces out here, and they built sort of idyllic Elysian gardens around the places with plants from all over the world, because of course the Portuguese in modern times are recorded with discovering the coastline of the world everywhere, going round, first people around the world, you name it.
Right.
Mm. So they really like bringing stuff back and showing the you know, the fruits of their kingdom, sort of thing. And
of course,
so it's, yeah, it has a really, it's really stunning mix of stuff. But they planted the mountain here with stuff to have hunting forests, to hunt boar, probably mostly deer. Mm,
they basically built a forest so they could hunt boar.
They all did, for their own little pads and palaces. They all built a little section, and it totally changed the ecosystem of the whole area. Started pulling in the moisture more as it came in from the ocean, because it had so much trees and stuff. And it has just this really stunning, unique climate and different ecosystems. If you drive from here over the mountain, which is only like, I don't know, 30-minute drive, you drive through like 7, maybe 8 different types of ecosystem. Hmm. You know, visibly, really different ecosystems.
That's intense.
Yeah, I like that. Where you can almost like see where the cloud, like a vertical line in the sky.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, you can go and stand in the cloud and have the cloud blow past your ears, and you can see it that it's doing that. The weather interactions here are stunning. I thought after a year I'd kind of seen everything with the way it would be, a cycle, and every year stuff happens and I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Never ceases to amaze you. Well, I want to know what you do with all these fruits and vegetables and produce that you are growing. Do you sell it? Do you give it to friends? Do you make a big perpetual stew that the village eats?
I eat them.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah, from cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a 5-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. If you open up the lid, a little ASMR, it says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement, so it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah, so if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach, and it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness, and it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled NutraFol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG.
You grow banana. Well, but bananas, if you grow bananas, you get a fuck of a lot of bananas from in these bunches of hands of bananas that they produce. And
yeah, sure.
One person couldn't eat them all in time. You could probably have to make ice cream or something. But yeah, so people share stuff. I have way more oranges than I can eat. You know, we give them away to people, try and get rid of them. there's a massive surplus of fruit here, particularly oranges and lemons and some other things.
Up to your ears and oranges. Okay, so, and you're able to, you keep a trim figure. You're able to just gorge on all of this amazing food all day long and you're fine.
I don't know if it's, I have an amazing figure. You can only see me from the neck up.
Okay, from the nipple down, it's more of a whale-like scenario is what you're saying?
Yeah. No, I try to eat healthily. I take drugs and do unhealthy things.
Yeah.
So I try and keep the drug-taking organ as healthy as I can.
Yeah. I do the same. It's what a way to live.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that you have to counterbalance because, you know, we're not getting any younger. So you can feel bad.
I had my days, you know, decades ago where I have crack for breakfast. And it's not a regime I can recommend for.
Sure.
Although
you can't keep
the weight
that going.
Off. It does keep the weight
keeps
off.
Keeps the weight off. Yeah. You don't really need
I can eat all the oranges I want.
Do you still have an espresso with that, or does that kind of void out the need for coffee?
I am a cold press, not cold press, a French press.
French press.
Coffee dude. I just make it. The coffee here is really good. Mm-hmm. I'd argue some of the best you'll get anywhere, and they're really into coffee here, really into coffee.
Wow, so everything you say about this place, because like I love I'm not a big tea drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere else in Europe is tea is number one and coffee is number two.
Yeah.
You're in a place where coffee is in the lead. This is, I feel like I'm going to have a bed and breakfast or something like that in the next couple of years. Maybe we can work out a housing swap the next time you got to come over here to LA and
that's good.
And do a couple sessions in Burbank.
It's always nice to, it's kind of nice to leave here. Every so often, because you start taking it for granted, and as soon as you leave and you're like, oh my god, and then coming back, we came back yesterday, the flight from the UK came back, they landed us at the wrong airport 3 hours away, that, you know, it was a miserable scenario. As soon as you get off the plane in Portugal, it's really strange what an effect it has. Mm-hmm. The highways, we drove back on the highway last night. I mean, we passed like two cars in 3 hours driving down the highway. There's a lot of great things about Portugal.
I want to know how living here in this place has affected your music listening, if any.
Oh, it totally has. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I for quite a while have mixed records in nice environments, and I guess I learned this a little bit from MGMT. They rented a house in Malibu to record Congratulations. Rather than going in a studio, they set it all up in a big house with five double bedrooms so they could all stay with their en suites and all this. It's so much better way of doing things in this really nice environment, just on the edge of a national park there in Malibu. I mean, I'm not a big Malibu fan, to be honest, but It's very pretty in places. I don't really like the vibe around me, but
it's one of the weirdest places in the world. I don't like it either.
Yeah,
I think the people are too rich there. They're just too rich for me to enjoy that.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me.
Anywhere where you're locked out of the beaches at night
is already
on really thin ground to me. I don't think that's a great.
I don't like an elitist forest.
Exactly.
I don't like an elitist beach forest.
Same thing. That's true.
Okay, so you living there, are you listening to more, you know, reggae, dub, new age, ambient, fourth world?
Yeah, I listen to quite a lot of reggae and dub, but I always did. Particularly the sort of Lovers Rock, 67, 68, 69 period. I really loved that era. Mm. And that was a big influence on our Reset album, came out a couple of years ago.
With Panda Bear.
And yeah. You know, we moved here, and then, you know, life, you know, has its distractions, and then we had lockdown, and I had, you know, my IKEA cliches full of my you know, thousands of records, and I could access them here. I hadn't been able to access them so easily where I'd been living in the UK before we moved here. And I just sort of rediscovered all these records that I never keep any record around. If I'm not that into a record, it'll disappear somewhere. I'll let it go to someone somewhere. But I have a lot of records, and I still really love, I don't keep any of them without a reason. And just exploring them and discovering them in this environment was just like, it was like sort of rediscovering them in a really nice way.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like if I did that switch, I would put down the My Bloody Valentine and pick up the Balearic 12-inch, you know, Ibiza single.
Yeah. It depends, you know. I mean, for an afternoon, or an early evening, I might be more like put on Esquivel or something. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, we have friends around here and people are taking MDMA and
get stuff. The bongos out.
Yeah, My Bloody Valentine will My Bloody Valentine will come out.
that's my kind of ex-MDMA party.
Yeah,
that's a hornier MDMA party.
And Loveless is just one of the greatest of MDMA records, I feel. It's really unique, and it really captured captured an atmosphere in a really cool way, I think. I think it's kind of a special record.
Yeah, I feel like some of those guitar tones sound like how my jaw feels when I'm on MDMA. It's just kind of like...
You know? At least it's not the drums.
yeah, thank God. Okay, what are some other MDMA albums, now that we're on the topic, sir?
Well, I mean, I'll say Bummed, Happy Mondays, Bummed, that record.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Creation, what we're talking about, you know, one of the records that gets played a lot here there was a Creation compilation called Keeping the Faith that was all early rave acid sort of stuff, but done by, you know, people like My Bloody Valentine or the Jazz Butcher or Primal Scream.
I'm looking at it right now.
There's a band called Hypnotone on there. The guy was from a TV Personalities, not a band you really would think of in the same frame as mine, as that sort of acid rave thing. But the record's just really good. McGee was really ahead of the curve.
So that was in 91.
Yeah.
Yeah, the artwork has a little bit of a Peter Saville kind of vibe to it, huh?
Yeah. It's not easy to find that record, actually, because I gave my copy to a friend, but I only thinking that I could get another one. It took me a little while. I did find one eventually, but it's a good record.
I can't believe I don't know if I've ever, and yeah, Andy Weatherall mix Soon.
Well,
wow, I don't even know if I've ever heard that before.
Some of the remixes, you know, people like Oakenfold and Andy Weatherall did. I mean, that's all that would be all good grist around here.
Now I know what song to play at the end of this episode. Unless it's shit.
No, it's awesome.
I kind of miss compilations. Now that you brought this up, I feel like the only thing comparable nowadays is like a movie soundtrack, maybe, is the best you're going to get. Like, I don't think, because, I mean, that was a big part of like the hard, we grew up going to hardcore and punk shows, and compilations were a big part of that. Like, that was a big part of that world too.
When they're good, they're so good. There's one that I've listened to since I was a kid called That Summer, and it was a shitty film, American film, but the soundtrack is like stuff from 78, where it's like the Ramones, Teenage Kicks by the Undertones, Richard Hell, all this sort of punk new wave stuff, of which there was
Elvis Costello.
Absolutely. There were so many great Ian Jury.
Boomtown Rats. The list goes on.
I mean, even Boomtown Rats, not known for their great material.
Patti Smith, Because the Night was on there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is Richard Hell, Blank Generation, Rockaway Beach. It's Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. It's like watching The Detective.
Yeah.
When this came out, I imagine when this came out, it was like, oh, now I know my identity, if you're like young enough, you know?
Well, I probably have like 4, 5, 6 of those records, songs on single anyway, because back then people bought singles a lot. But being able to get all these other... I didn't have Teenage Kicks. Well, Teenage Kicks, I think, is one of the greatest songs ever written. So, you know, or Another Girl, Another Planet by The Only Ones, or even Rockaway Beach. I didn't have the Ramones albums, but, you know, having some of the singles was kind of, it was a different era. I mean, I have of Elvis Costello or the Sex Pistols or the Clash or The Stranglers or The Damned. I have loads of singles, but not many albums by them. I guess it was what you could afford, small pieces of the best parts.
The 7-inch was a dollar, but also, you know, a lot of times you'll get burned if you love a band's song and you buy the whole album and it's shit and you just like one song.
Yeah.
You know? That was a real problem back in the day.
Well, Devo would be a good example, where I bought the singles and then I heard Are We Not Men, the whole album. I was like, damn, that whole fucking record is just awesome. I still love that record. Yeah. I just still listen to that anytime.
Yeah, or the opposite could happen like that.
The Devo stuff, all those singles and the first album, it starts falling off for me a little bit, even from the second album, The GD Now for the Future. But that first album and all those, like The Satisfaction and Mongoloid and Sloppy, and they had so many amazing and nothing like them, I think.
Did you go see them play? Didn't they play in Europe recently, a few months ago?
Pretty recently.
I know our friend Rory said he went.
It was kind of my dream as a kid to see them, but I never did see them. And I nearly had a chance to go and see them at a festival here last year, but I don't know. I saw Kraftwerk here a few years ago, and it was supremely fucking disappointing.
I don't want to see Kraftwerk in the sun in the afternoon at a festival.
No,
in 2022 either.
It was at night, but it was at a jazz festival in Qashqaish, which is one of the wealthiest places on the whole Iberian Peninsula. It's like royalty have houses there, and it's very posh.
So the vibes were off. The vibes were off.
The vibes were, of course, we all went ready to party, and there was like 4 of us dancing at the back, and everyone else was sitting down.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because the average Kraftwerk, you know, fan is they're more of a seated concert experience. Maybe we'll get some bottles, some wine and cheese at, in our booth kind of vibe, and less of let me take my shirt off and dance kind of thing.
I mean, I hear Kraftwerk and I want to dance. I just think that, but yeah, the show wasn't, the show had some really corny moments in it, but so yeah, I guess seeing your idols later on can, but then, you know, we played a festival in Poland a few years back, and we were setting up, we were flip-flopping with another stage, and we were setting up ready to play when Iggy was doing his Raw Power, you know, retour, and it was just
easy show to follow, right?
I can tell you, we were like, shit, fucking hell, what's a luck?
It's not gonna be our night.
Yeah.
How do you follow that?
Yeah. Well, I actually, when you have something really amazing supporting you, like coming on before you, like Iggy Pop was.
Yeah, it'll make you do the best job you've ever done. You'll try harder than you've ever tried.
And Iggy said he'll do it for us anytime.
He's such a sweet guy. He's a giver.
Yeah, no, I think he is a sweet dude. I'm a big fan, but it was amazing. It is hard to follow, but that's good. Fans that are hard to follow are good. I like it.
He feels like one of the only older gentlemen that is still pulling it off.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pushing.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah, but it's just like, I feel like I never hear anything but good about the shows in the recent years, which is tough when you're that age.
Yeah.
I saw him a year ago, and blew me away. He blew everyone else off the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him blowing the Strokes off the stage is not that hard, but I do think he moves a little more. You know what I mean? He's got pizzazz.
It's the first time the Strokes got blown off on stage.
Yeah, there's the first time for everything. You know, there's the first time for everything.
That's good stuff right there.
That's good stuff. Do you go to a lot of shows in Portugal?
I go to a fair few. Depends what's on. A couple of months. I mean,
But you make the effort, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I do. I do, and we do our own club here and stuff, and we do, and Panda Bear and myself do shows. We did a bunch of free shows here, different things.
When you say you have a club, do you mean a night, or you own a nightclub?
No. No, thank you.
I feel like you wouldn't be here talking to us if you owned a nightclub. No, you might not have made it. You might not have made it.
So you have like a monthly residency? Is that what you're saying?
No, we do it as and when we want to do it. And we started doing it in lockdown as a way to sort of pull people together, particularly out here, because there was loads of interesting people living out here, but we wanted to have some focus for them because it didn't exist. And we do it anywhere where they'll let us party hard, pretty much. And there's a place called, we do it for free. We always do it for free. We do it for places we just want to exist and keep being there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an awesome bar called Cosmos in Lisbon that we do stuff at quite a lot, and we do some launch parties and different things. So.
Okay.
But it's just awesome vibes, just really chill. You can smoke in there.
Uh-huh.
Smoke weed, smoke hash. They're just very relaxed.
Live how you please. Are you DJing records yourself?
Yeah. I usually do the opening slot that nobody wants to do, and there's no one there for. So I can party to everyone else's DJ.
Vinyl only?
You know what? Because carrying vinyl around is getting harder and harder.
Mm-hmm. Your assistant's not always around.
No. I use a stick like everyone these days. I mean, most DJs DJ from the dreaded stick. and my phone. I do a lot from my phone. I have a lot of files in my phone. And it's not very... playing from files on your iPhone is not a very DJ-friendly way. Work.
It is not.
But you can do it, and I do it.
Well, the stick is much better than the laptop because you're still mixing with your ears versus with your eyes, and I think that's when DJing died, when people started mixing with their eyes instead of their ears.
I mean, I have and do I have a lot of records and I do DJ with them, but as we tend to party pretty hard, the less vinyl you have around of your own, the better, in my mind. Because it's hard to keep, you got to really keep track of it. Not keep track of it, you got to keep make sure everything's back, and otherwise shit just gets spread and fucked up.
We're happy if we make it home with our house keys in our pocket, let alone 300 rare vinyl records.
Now, are you a drugs only, no alcohol guy, or do you still drink too?
I did. I didn't drink. I drank until I drank from the age of about 13 to about 18. And then I didn't drink again till I was about 40 odd. And the last 20 years I drink as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Red wine usually.
Yeah, I feel like the wine up there is nice.
It's very good. The Portuguese wine, I'm gonna sound like I'm from the Portuguese tourist board here, but the Portuguese,
we're way past that.
Yeah.
It's true. But Portuguese, I mean, the wine I drink, you know, is €2 a bottle, and it's very palatable, very drinkable. The Portuguese way is the ancient way, where they blend wine. Mm-hmm. They don't say it's just this grape, it's just from this region. They blend it to make very drinkable wine. And a friend of mine who's was a wine dealer for years, who comes here, I said, why do you like Portuguese wine so much? And he told me that this thing, he said, it's just unique pretty much for that. And it's rarely exported. They don't export much of it. They drink most of it here.
Well, it sounds like you can't make any money on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well,
costs more to ship it than to buy it. Than
yeah,
the bottle.
I mean, you can buy wine here for less than it. You can buy it for €1 a liter, so let alone a bottle.
Wow.
So, but for two euros, I mean, there's loads of really drinkable wines.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
How often do you get the Porron out and start, you know what I'm talking about?
The what, sorry, the Porron,
where you it's like the jug, you fill it with the wine and it has the long spout, and then you pour it over your head and it looks like a baby pissing wine into your mouth in so many ways.
That's
you're not familiar.
I mean, I'm not saying this for any reason, but that sounds more Hispanic than Portuguese to
okay.
me.
Okay, yeah.
That sounds like the Spanish might do that ceremony.
It is more of a Spanish thing, yeah.
Yeah, this Portuguese and the Spanish have as little in common as they can manage to muster. I think they have a like many countries next to another country. They're totally different people here. They're still there's a lot of Moorish culture that remained in Portugal. The Inquisition and these Catholic purges were treated less seriously here.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a different vibe.
You said you've been there for 8 years. How many years into that did it take you to start hating Spanish people?
I love Spanish people. I love. Don't get me wrong. I love Spain. It's my second favorite country in the world.
Okay, good.
You're saying England's not. Is England top? Is England top three at least?
Oh no.
All the way down on the bottom. Okay, so you would
not even close.
You would live in America.
You fully Brexited.
Yeah.
America is a big word. There's parts
quite
of it.
Quite literally.
There's parts of it and a big country.
Have you ever lived here? Have you ever lived in New York or LA or anywhere?
I spend a lot of time there. I mean, living there, I if I'm somewhere for a month, I don't consider it living there. But if I totted up all the time, I've spent, you know, some years in America working and being there with different projects. But I like it. I like California. Last time I was in California, in LA, I hadn't been for 6 years, I think, and I found it tough. I found the amount of homeless people, the sort of state of things to be severely depressing, actually.
It's not great. No, it's not great. And it does take a toll seeing some stuff like that every day, you know?
It has not improved with
time.
Yeah,
it's not, I don't mind seeing them, but I wonder what the story is behind these people. And with the Reset album, which I keep plugging, Panda Bear and Sonic Boom Reset album, Domino Records.
In stores now.
We decided when we made that record that we wanted to make something to be uplifting and help people coming out of the lockdown and just try and, but also to consider many of the serious subjects that we have in as light and positive a way as possible, but still discussing them. I mean, the biggest song from Edge of the Edge is about being on the edge of the edge with our society, the way we interact with the planet. And so because of that, we decided to give a feral chunk of the publishing and proceeds from the record, our royalties, to MAPS, who are, I don't know if you know who they are, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies.
Mm, yeah.
And they fix traumatically stressed people. vets, a lot of them for sure. Mm-hmm. And they do it with therapized MDMA. And it's awesome because they turn people's lives around and those people become functional in society. They have functional children. Mm-hmm. They don't knock this on and we don't just keep passing on our dysfunction.
Beautiful.
So it's sad to see. The reason we support it is because I know how many people could benefit from it.
That's not even looked at as extreme anymore, to be honest. I feel like it's pretty normalized.
It's awesome. I mean, they've been working for a long time to get it federally approved and having to make their own pharmaceutical MDMA because nobody did. And the setting up this whole, the whole thing with MAPS is awesome. I mean, training people up to do therapy, providing the tools, i.e., you know, training, of course, but also the MDMA, selling the MDMA, which is all fed back into fixing more people. Not interested in it. The profit they're looking for is fixing traumatized people. So it's pretty sweet.
That's great. All right,
we'll do our part to spread the word, and I will stream the record today. And when I go for a nice dog walk, give you a couple shekels in the MAPS wallet. And everyone listening, nice. Everyone listening, you should go listen to that album. And you know, let's change some lives.
Reset.
Let's reset.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Peter. It was a real pleasure, man. Honestly.
My pleasure. Yeah.
It was a treat.
It's fun.
All right. We'll see you soon.
We'll look you up the next time we're over there. Okay. In Portugal.
Please do. Seriously.
I'd love to.
I'd love to.
Yeah. I will.
Be awesome.
We'll talk to you soon.
Ciao.
Strange fruit has a hidden rod. Took a taste and then you spit it back up. You threw the rock just to watch it splash. Sick as a dog and you're digging through the trash. One taste to break the fall. It's forever at the push of a button. Up to the edge.